So kia ora whanau, welcome. Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember what the link was around the whole quiz thing. There was a really good link, hey? Around people and places, and bringing renewal to that. And that's what we're about as New Zealand Baptists. We've this catch cry the last few years around bringing gospel renewal to people and places. So yeah, this is what it's about. And Arotahi in this series that we're going through is linking in with that. Now, out of all the human experiences, out of all the incredible things that we get to be and do as humans, I reckon there's surely one experience that nobody enjoys. Waiting. I realised that could have been a little bit awkward. There could have been lots of things. But waiting at traffic lights, right? Ugh, who wants to do that? Waiting for kids to get ready. In a queue. Oh, it's the worst. Oh, what about waiting for kids to get ready? For the next season of that show that we, just can't wait for. Waiting at roadworks. Oh, going north. Oh, my goodness. For test results. For updates on after bad news. Or when we don't know what's coming up. Waiting. It makes me wonder what it would have been like for Jesus' disciples in the hours and days and weeks that they waited. They were waiting after Jesus told them to wait, which was as he ascended to heaven. And so they waited for whatever was going to be next, uncertain, impatience rising, doubt very present, faith being questioned. It doesn't say that, but, if we imagine ourselves in that, I'm sure, lots of us would be feeling like that. And we know a bit about the disciples, so that's probably pretty accurate. Acts 1:13 to 15. After the apostles returned to the city, they went upstairs to the room where they had been staying. The apostles often met together and prayed with a single purpose in mind. The woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, would meet with them, and so would his brothers. One day there were about 120 of the Lord's followers meeting together. And the story goes on towards Pentecost, like the reading or the video we had. But let's imagine what it must have been like waiting in that upstairs room. If we put ourselves in the shoes of Mary or Joanna or Matthew or Peter, what must it have been like for them? What would it have been like for them being together, meeting together regularly, being committed to that? And what would it have been like for them as they met together, praying together, speaking to God, listening for God with a common purpose in mind? And what might it have been like for them sharing what they had with each other? Often we have waiting spaces in our lives, don't we? Waiting to see family that we haven't seen in ages. Waiting for that next holiday to arrive. Waiting to see if kids or grandkids will settle down, whatever that means. Waiting to see if that relationship or marriage improves. Waiting on test results for an unknown future regarding health. Waiting on work dynamics to change so things are more sustainable and enjoyable. There's probably lots of different ways that we wait. But in our waiting space, what might we take from this big group of disciples who met together, prayed together, and shared together? Is there something from what we can imagine their experiences might have been that might be helpful for us in our waiting? Before the waiting came a real high point, actually, a crescendo, this elation when Jesus, having risen from the dead, comes to his disciples again and commissions them. He gives them a vision, some guidance, some instruction, and it must have been a bit of a lifetime highlight for them. Jesus trusts them with this incredible way of life. Go and make disciples of all nations, he says. And this great commission was the focus, as Mal said, of last year's Renew Together appeal. Not that I remember that, and I certainly don't expect anyone else to remember that. But this year's Renew Together, we continue the journey beyond the risen Christ's command to focus on the emerging church that we read about in the New Testament book called Acts. It all begins with the disciples all together in a house, in a room on the top floor, waiting, expecting, scared. What will happen next? What will Jesus do? And so these 4 weeks, including today, are going to be about joining Arotahi and exploring our unique role in the Missio Dei, in the mission of God. This year we'll focus together on the gospel renewal of God's world. It's about people and places and our part in it. Knowing God's heart, that'll be next week, then choosing God's heart and going with God's heart to the ends of the earth. We've got a little video to play on that one. Arotahi has always been really close to our heart as a church. In this season of us dreaming again for what the next season at West holds, what place might Arotahi hold for us? As a Baptist church in Aotearoa, Arotahi belongs to us. Through Arotahi, we support Joe and Charlie, who work in a business called Joya, and also Joel and Lizzie as well. And then in Bangladesh, we support Jidan, a student at the Feeney Hostel, Feeney Baptist Hostel. And previously there's been a real desire to come alongside Feeney Hostel with prayer, money, a visit perhaps, where in order to encourage and build friendships, play with kids, help with practical stuff like painting. So I wonder, you know, whether there might be an appetite for some of that in the years coming. Over the next couple of weeks, Andy Gaynor is going to bring the people we support before us so that we can be a bit more aware of what's happening for them and be praying for them. Now, tradition says that Jesus' apostle Thomas travelled all the way to India and shared the good news about Jesus as far as India. It's incredible to think of the change in the world because of the changed lives of those disciples waiting in an upstairs room, expectant, uncertain. I quite like this quote. Within the space of 30 years, the gospel is preached in the most splendid, formidable, and corrupt cities. It reaches the holy city, Jerusalem, the city of philosophers in Athens, the city of magic in Ephesus, and the empire, Rome. The change brought about by the 12 apostles is the most inexplicable, mysterious, and wonderful event ever witnessed in this world. Starting with waiting. As a church, we want to see change in the city of many islands, Naumatu, New Plymouth, don't we? We want to see people of all ages and backgrounds finding hope, peace, joy, and love in the life of the risen Christ, and in community with people who are also discovering this, like us. As a church, we're in the middle of this season of waiting, aren't we? Waiting for what's next, expectant for good things to emerge, hopeful for a change that's really life-giving, wanting God's Spirit to be leading us, to connect with us, to remind us of who we are and what we're called to be and do. We've heard from everybody who wants to share what's on their heart for the church, and all this has been recorded and shared with our leadership board. But I'd like to just take a couple of little minutes to share a little bit of what's on my heart, because I haven't had a turn yet. You know, as a church, we're about being a place of shelter, faith, and laughter. At our core, we commit to walking in the ways of Jesus, both ways known and yet to be made known, and to caring for one another with love. And I love these. I love that. It's fantastic. Not that that's a dream, because it's sort of already there. But I just wanted to start with that because I think it's awesome. But three things for me. I love how there is naturally a lot of caring for one another with love. And I've been on the receiving end of practical caring many times, especially this year. And it's really, really special. And I love that about us. I'd like to see us develop spaces that people, especially those less connected to others, spaces that people can belong to and deepen friendships and naturally give and receive care and love, relationally and practically. And maybe you know, this means new groups where that form, where faith formation and friendship are really core. I think that could be something that would be really, really good for us. So that's firstly. Secondly, I love how there's been so much talk amongst us about partnerships, how we can partner with others who are doing great stuff in our community without us having to be in charge. I think that's really, really gospel-minded. We could name those that we're in partnership with and aspire to be in partnership with. Perhaps this would help us with a bit more clarity of focus and with intention of engagement and with prayer and with communication about what we're about as a church. What it means to be a great partner could be explored more. You know, there's places like Spotswood Primary School, Arotahi, Ngāti Tawiti, Mosaic Youth, Taranaki Retreat. There's our Lower North Island Baptist Association. There's the Baptist Union of Churches. Perhaps there's others too. So I think, yeah, I think we could do some really good stuff around deepening that sense of partnership. A third thing from me is about creating space for people to engage with us and with God. I think there's a lot, and I've probably said this numerous times over the years, but I think there's a lot of trust for us, for our church in the community. A lot of goodwill. A lot of appreciation. And that's due, I think, to 32 years of stable, genuine, loving service in the community. And it's hugely positive. Hugely positive. We are connected with a lot of local people. Through Mosaic Youth, through Mother's Day Brunch, chaplaincy work at school, our bread run, Christmas hampers, food parcels, music and play, dozens and dozens of beautiful, loved people. And like many of you who have said this, I too think that unfortunately, Sunday morning is too big a jump for people with no church background to suddenly be a part of it. Even if they're interested in Jesus. But I'd love us to give people opportunities to make a step towards exploring faith, towards being a part of a community of faith. Even though we value and love and work hard at Sunday mornings, it isn't and it never has, and it possibly never will be that. And that's not a bad thing, but it just means we might need to think about something else. And so what else could we try that isn't adding more onto people? And I appreciate that there's nothing new in what I'm saying here, but I still think it's true. So it's something that I'd love for us to be considering. So that's something of my dreams. Pretty simple. Hey, so this coming Saturday, our leadership board have a part-day retreat where we'll be prayerfully considering all that's been shared with the aim of identifying the themes, the big themes, but also the small voices that may be a bit more like a prophetic voice that we need to pay attention to. We'll be strategizing about what things could look like and coming up with some potential ways forward. Then we'll try to capture that simply and then feed that back to everybody and have some conversations together in order to sharpen those things up. So it's a time of waiting. It's a time of where there's a bit of uncertainty, but there's also a lot of hope and a lot of, you know, really positive expectations. And I appreciate that this isn't easy sometimes to live in this sort of holding, waiting sort of period. You know, what will it all mean for us? What will it look like? One of the neat things about us dreaming and changing, this is what I'm really especially excited about. One of the neat things about dreaming and changing is that we get to do it together. I think that's fantastic. It's a bit of an adventure. So I know the board, and I include myself in that, would really appreciate your prayers as we head into this retreat on Saturday, that we would listen well, both to God and to each other. Or sometimes, you know, God speaks through each other, eh? That there'd be a lot of unity and clarity of mind, and that our drafting of plans would fit well for us, and also fit well for our community, and also, of course, be really well aligned with God's heart and God's kingdom. So that's what I've got to share this morning, but let's pray. Then I'll pray into that as well. God, we thank you for all that has been shared over the last few months from people up the front that we've all got to hear, but also the conversations and the text messages and the emails. We thank you for the time and effort that people have put into to articulating something of what we believe you have laid on people's hearts for us. And so as we gather as leaders this Saturday, we thank you that you will be with us, because we know that you've promised that. Would you help us to be especially aware of you and really attentive to your voice, to your leading, to your heart, to our church, to our community, as we make some plans? May they be things that really honor you and are really filled with just so much integrity for who we are as a church. We ask that would lead to really, really neat things. Help us with this process, God. We acknowledge and recognize that we really need you. Prepare our hearts. We also think of the work of Arotahi and this series that we are embracing, and thank you so much for their work. Thank you for the reminder that you have called us to have a worldwide view. So please open our minds and our hearts to people that you love, that are made in your image around the world. Help us to be mission-minded people. So lead us in that, we pray. Amen. Cool.